Amen.
We do have children's church this morning, so if you want to go ahead and release those guys, I'm sure they're really excited to go. As soon as the R normally hits Sid's word for release, my kids have sprinted out the door. So I just want to say that we're very thankful to everybody that kind of volunteers to go up there and teach those guys, because I know it's not easy. I mean, my kids are perfect, but I know that everybody else's might not be. So welcome to Victory Fellowship again. James, I appreciate that prayer because I know that there's not much else that kind of qualifies me to even stand up here other than God saying, hey man, just if you'll stop being you for a minute and let me use you, I would appreciate it. So, my week was probably very similar to the rest of yours. It was chaotic, it was busy, it was full of stuff, and it was probably very easy to lose sight on some of the things that we should have maintained. But it was a busy week. We wrestled on Tuesday and Wednesday. So, Joe, this was a good time to come because, like, most of this beginning part is going to be about wrestling. And you and Nick and Brett are, like, the only three people that I'll be able to preach to for a little while, unless there's someone else that I don't know in here. For those of you that don't know me, I do get to do things that I really enjoy for a living. So I get to hang out with young people, I get to teach young people, but I also get to coach wrestling, which is the best sport on the planet. If you don't know about it, you should get involved, find a local chapter of addicts and enjoy yourself. But I'm at a new place, right, and I'm with some new kids, and all throughout the summer and throughout this, you know, first part of the season, really been hitting on fundamentals, right? You guys probably have heard that if you've been around athletics at all. You hear the word fundamentals all the time, okay? And what fundamentals are, they're basic rules and principles that you need to know and follow to be successful. And so we have really worked those, like, since the summer. Like, Jamie will tell you, like, I think in the month of June, they had 3 days off, and that included Sundays. Like, we really got after it, okay? We really worked really hard on these fundamentals, and we've really been busting it. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we did not use them at all. We completely just spazzed out when we started wrestling for the first time, because it's really easy to go through things in practice and then, you know, just say, I know what I'm doing, I'm going to do my own thing. So Tuesday was like the pinnacle of, oh my gracious. And to quote Coach Armas, whose practices have you been attending? Because you haven't been at mine, apparently. And it was a rough week. There's a difference between practices and matches, obviously. And so what happened was, we had worked all these things, right, for you people that don't do wrestling. We've been tackling and blocking for the last little bit, right? We've been working on blocking and tackling. And then, like, we went into the game, and we just decided that those things were not very important. And the results, as you would imagine, were not very successful. And so I don't think that these young people, and of course I talked to them very politely at the end of each match and told them how much we loved them and we were just encouraging them to do better. I felt like Tom Hanks in League of Their Own at the end, you know, just. But anyways, what happened was we had practiced all of these things, right? And we try to give them as close to a live situation as possible, right? That's what you want. You want as much experience as possible. But they got out into these matches, and it being the first time since they've had them since the last season, right, just decided, well, I'm going to go back to my own prior knowledge, and I'm going to do my thing. And it wasn't a blatant, like, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. It was more of, this is what I've done before, and so this is what I'm going to continue to do. And obviously, you know what happens, right? And the whole point of this is, We've got some gaps in our knowledge, right, when it came to wrestling. We got some guys, and for you three people that can understand me, we'd get on top and, like, we'd start going for, like, suicide cradles and, like, these crazy, like, high-level maneuvers, and we would skip those fundamentals. I'm going to tell you, a good old wrist and half will get it done, right? Good, and you guys don't know what I'm talking about. I told you guys there's three people I could talk to. Like a wrist and a half will get it done, okay? ISO right will get it done, which, as long as we do it correctly. And so we've got to fill in those gaps of knowledge so that we can reach our max potential, right? It's great if we can do all these wonderful things, but if we don't have those, that foundation built, we're not going to be able to transition and go from move to move to move. Again, you know, citing wrestling, when I run that wrist and a half and it doesn't work, I've got a handle now, right? I might go one on the back. I can do all kind of stuff from there. It's the same thing. I was going to use Georgia Tech, but I will anyway, okay? So if there's three of you left, it's kind of like that triple option. If the dive's not there, then the keep's there, and if the keep's not there, then the pitch will be there, right, if you run it correctly. And so we've got to fill in these basic fundamentals, and so apparently God has really been hammering fundamentals to me because he's showing it to me in my physical life. I see the lack of fundamentals in my physical life. So if you showed up this morning looking for some big exponential teaching and me revealing something in the Word that you've never seen before, you may be disappointed, okay? Because I feel like it's really easy to chase these high, deep depths and breadths of God, but we are not going to be able to sustain that without the fundamentals. Okay? We're not going to be able to live there. You can experience it, right? You can be successful. You can catch that guy in a suicide cradle and pin him back. See, he showed you, coach. Rest in half. I ain't got to have that. But you're not going to be able to live there. You're not going to be able to sustain life there. So unless you have that basic foundation and fundamentals. And so God kind of started last night, watching all that football last night. I cracked open the Word and started looking at some things, knowing that God's been hammering me on those. And then came to Scripture. We'll read you guys this morning. It's basic. It's fundamental. I don't think I'll be very long because I'm not going to say it over and over again. So I hope you get it. Okay, so pay attention. In Matthew chapter 5, this is Jesus talking. You know, just we're in the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to read one verse to you, okay? That's it. Chapter 5, verse 13, this is the NLT, in case it looks a little funky to you. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is the salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." This is Jesus talking to us. Okay, it's in red letters. If you got one of those Bibles, got red letters. And he says, "You are the salt of the earth." I'm like, well, yeah, I've heard that 1,000 times. God, I've heard you're the salt of the earth. And so what does that mean to us? Like, looking at it right now, what do you know salt does? It's the flavor, right? And that's exactly what I've always... I'm the spice of life, man. Okay, if you want life to be good, it's going to be because of me. God said it's because of me, because he said I'm the salt. I think what we fail to realize sometimes is the historical relevance of salt. Okay? This was written during a time period that salt was not just used to flavor your food. It was much, much more significant than that, okay? And so I want to kind of dive into that and speak to that a little bit. And so I'm going to do the best to kind of filter through this, real quick. The history of salt. I know you all came for a history lesson of salt today. But that's what you're getting to start with, okay? So that you can kind of understand what exactly, how significant God's saying that we are, okay? Because it's not saying that we're just the flavor of life, that the good things out of life are going to come from us. Here's what the history of salt is. As far back as 6,000 before Christ, okay, the earliest of civilizations, the ancient civilizations, right? Salt has always been extremely important for millennia, all right? Some people use them for religious reasons. It says, the history of salt touches our daily lives. The word salary, actually, is derived from the word salt. That's how valuable salt was. Okay? It was as valuable as gold. Salt was equal to gold. The weight of salt and the weight of gold equaled the same thing. Okay? Salad comes from salt because the ancient Romans used to put salt on all of their vegetables, their leafy greens and all that stuff like we do, right? So that's where salad comes from. The word salt comes from there. It's very broad history. Obviously, we know what we use it for today, and that is to flavor our food. But just general knowledge of salt. Okay, there's a couple things that it does. The first thing and the most important thing that it did during this time period is it preserves food. Okay? We don't use it to preserve food anymore because we have refrigerators, right? Or we just put a bunch of preservatives, salt-based, right, into our food. Okay, so it preserves food. That's the basis of early civilizations. You have to have a sustainable amount of food. If you want this food to be sustained, you need salt. Salt was not like sitting at the end of each road. Okay, it was very difficult to obtain salt at this point in time. All right, so salt was the basis of early civilizations because without food, people die. God says that we are the salt of the earth, right? God also says that man shall not live on bread alone, right? But on the Word of God, which He says is the meat. Okay, that's what He refers to it as. The Word of God is like our meat. God says that we are the salt of the earth. We are to preserve the meat of God, right, and redistribute it to others. Okay? He's not saying that you're the flavor of the earth. He says you preserve food to keep people alive. If you want to keep people alive spiritually, then you have to preserve the words that have been spoken into your life, the words that you've read. Those are all preserved by you, not by God. You preserve those things. Okay, you preserve those things. And if we want to continue to feed people, if people need to be fed, then you need to understand that you may be the only food that people get spiritually. How many people do you interact with on a daily basis that you know aren't eating anywhere else? And I'm not talking about food. I'm just talking about that they're not getting God anywhere else. And you're the limit of food that they're getting. How much are they eating? How much am I feeding people? How many people do I come in contact with on a daily basis that I go, I'm going to hang on to this right now. They don't look hungry. Knowing that they are lost, dying, and going to hell. But here we go. We're going to hang on to it because it's valuable. It's endless, guys. It's endless. So salt was there to preserve food. There were, and Nick I know can walk with me on this, as we look back and we teach world history, there were what we refer to now in history as the salt roads, right? The biggest three things that were traded back in the day. One of them was salt. The other one was gold. The other one was people. You could trade salt for an entire human being. That's how worthy salt was, right? And so people started walking, and they would make these trails, and then they became roads, right? Roads, and we'd get salt roads. And what would happen is people would travel these roads to get to salt. Because again, salt's not sitting on the side of the road anywhere, right? It's not just sitting there. It has to be procured somehow. And so people would walk and they would travel and they would interact with other people and they would trade things with other people. And one of the main things that you could trade and you would want to bring with you in case like things got a little hairy would be salt because it was super valuable, right? Well, what happens, guys, when people from all these other places are interacting with... That was my map, by the way. There's a map here, and there's a lot of different places on this map that I was referring to, okay? So now you see that, okay? What was happening is when someone from here would trade with someone from here, they're not just trading salt and gold and people. They're exchanging culture. Every single day of your life, you're on a road, and you exchange with people. I always hear Sid talk, and it's going to happen next week. Write it down. Okay? Let's see if you listen to this. Don't let me down. He will come in next week after being out of town, right? And he will talk about a story that he has with this human being, probably around a campfire or a dude wearing a cowboy hat in Italy or something, and they will have stopped and they will have spoken and they will have exchanged stories in life. And we do that with people all the time. When I run into people that I talk to, we talk about stuff. But how often am I giving them what they need? How am I exchanging my culture? You know how the spread of Christianity happens? Right there. Right there. People walk, and they're from this place, and they've known God as their Savior, and they talk to somebody about, oh, you're still doing that idols thing. No, let me tell you about Jesus. And guess what? There goes Jesus spreading again across the map, across the map, across the map. There he goes. That's how it happens. Yet so often in life, we'd rather share our stories about wrestling. We'd rather share our stories about our business, about our travels. But we don't exchange the one thing that's actually sustaining us. We don't exchange the one thing that's going to sustain them. Salt was so valuable, guys, that the way of travel revolved around it. Like you wouldn't leave your little homestead, shanty shack, like built out of mud and huts, unless you needed something. Right? You don't really need gold. You can't eat it. I mean, it's good to have, like if you need to buy something from somebody, but salt's what's going to, that's what's going to preserve life. That's what's going to feed you. And so you would risk traveling out on a road where Mongols or all these other crazy people would come out and just attack you, kill you, and take your salt. You would risk that to go out and find the one thing that you know you needed to sustain your life. And God says that's you. God says you're salt. You're the one thing that's worth going out and risking everything to bring back. That's how important we are. He's not calling us the stuff that sits on the table that we used too much of a couple of days ago. Okay? I didn't, because my people cook really well and I didn't need to add salt to nothing. But you understand what I'm saying. Here's the other thing salt does. Salt, you need salt in your life. Now in America we use it way too much. Okay, we're like, just like everything else, we overindulge. But without salt, you die. Salt regulates the fluids in your system. Okay? That's why, like 50 years ago, football coaches would give kids salt tablets after practice. That was not good. Okay? Bad mistake there. However, we knew salt regulated our system. And so salt's important for sustaining life. Without salt, your system doesn't get regulated. The other thing salt does inside your body is it stimulates your immune system. God says you're the thing that stimulates somebody else's insides. You're the thing that stimulates somebody else's insides. How heavy is that now? We go through this scripture, and I've been through this scripture. This is me talking to me, fundamentals, right? I go through this scripture all the time. I'm the flavor of life, baby. God says you're the thing that stirs people on the insides. What does smelling salts do? Now, there's not the sodium in smelling salts. It's more ammonia. Nonetheless, it's a chemical compound found and that was traded, right? I'll tell you what they did. I looked it up. Let's find it here. I promise I did. All right, here we go. Smelling salts are used to arouse consciousness. You are used to arouse spiritual consciousness in everybody that you come in contact with. It's your job to arouse. Here, I'm going to go further. It says, because of the release of ammonia, because of the release of the Holy Spirit, okay, because of the release of that aroma, right, it accompanies and irritates the membranes of the nose and the lungs and thereby triggers an inhalation reflex. Let's go back. It comes into their nose and their lungs. You are the vessel God has chosen to breathe the breath of life into others. Not an angel. They're useful. They do what they're told, right? But you is what God, this is red letters, guys. New Testament. God says you are responsible for breathing the breath of life into people. You are responsible for awakening an immune system to something they didn't know. People are asleep. They're out. They're unconscious. And they're slaves to the world. And God says, you're the thing that can wake them up. You're the thing that can regain consciousness in a lost and dying world. Yet we want flavor life. No. You are life. You are what sustains life. You are what wakes up life. This reflex alters the pattern of breathing, resulting in improved respiratory flow rates and alertness. I'm going to read through that one more time and let it marinate just a little bit like salt. You are used to arouse consciousness because of the release of the Holy Spirit. I just subbed that in for ammonia. I hope that's okay for everybody. Okay. And it opens up the nose and the lungs and triggers an inhalation reflex. You trigger a reflex that says, and they breathe that breath of life in for the first time. And this alters their pattern of breathing. It alters the pattern of life. It alters the pattern and the flow in which they are now currently on. It alters it. The road that's leading to the destruction, the road that leads to depression, the road that leads to all these negative things that just cram and cram and cram on people, you alter that road. But just because of being there, just because of doing what you're supposed to do, that's it. Just by doing what you're supposed to do. Guys, I'm telling you right now, I see it every single day. I don't care if you look at social media. I don't care if it's people that you talk to. There are people that are fed up with life. they say things, right, and they don't mean them half of the time, but sometimes they do. They say things like, God, I just wish it was over today. Wish today was the day. There's nothing really keeping me hanging on right now. This is my life. And then there's some gif or meme, you know, that's just terrible. And they say those things, and maybe they halfway mean it, but maybe they really mean it. And we walk by with the life source that we have, and we just keep it. And we stare at them, like, man, it sucks to be you. You're missing the point. You're here for that. It ain't somebody else's job. What if no one comes down that road again? What if that person is sitting on the side of that road waiting on someone to come in and change the way that they look at life, change the way that they're breathing, alter the way that they're living life, and we walk right by them? Who's to say? Who is to say? We don't know. But why don't we act on it? I'll never forget, I shared this with Paul not too long ago, I'll never forget being 17 years old, and I'm heading down to Florida with a group of friends, because that's what you did, and I'm going down there. Now, we weren't crazy, okay? We were good. I'm going to tell you, it gets better. So me and my buddy Mark, who some of you know, we're heading down to Florida, and we've got a third wheel, who shall remain nameless, that maybe didn't believe the way we did at the time, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and we're heading down to Florida, and it's like church time. It's like Sunday afternoon, we're like, we look at each other like, we're going through Dothan, Alabama. I could see the place, huge church. And we just whip it in. And this guy's like, what are we doing? We're in like shorts and t-shirts, right? He's like, what are you doing? I was like, going to church, man. That's what we do. It's time to go to church, we go to church. No, man, we ain't dressed regular. We can't do this. And he's spazzing out, right? And so we go in, and obviously we get eyeballed. Like, this was not like a us type place, right? Honest to goodness, guys. Not making this up. Like, I know we got our guys with our earpieces in, right? And they're like all Magnum PIs, you know. These guys had like you gotta upgrade this. These guys had like the wrist walkie-talkies. Hit the button. We got some guys coming in over here. Need some eyes on them. We hear them like as we're coming in. They're like, check out these people. Do I know these guys? And we're just like, hey. You know, we're coming to church. And so like, the entire time we're there, there's like the men in black are behind us, like, they're making sure we're not there to, I don't know. I don't know what they're making sure of. The Bible says, know those that labor among you. So maybe they just wanted to know who we were. Even though they didn't ask us questions. They were just, we got one of them in shorts, baggy shorts, cargo shorts, ugly, you know, fashion. So, like, anyways, so they're there the entire time. But the thing that I'll never forget is, I'll be honest, as crazy and religious as I felt the place was, which I'm sure it was, and I was 17 and I was rebellious and, you know, I just wanted to kick down any door I could. The guy preached a sermon that I will never, ever, ever forget, okay? He stands up there, and we got in there like late. We just thought it was church time. It was late. It was past church time, but we still got in there. And he's preaching this sermon. He's closing up, and he's talking about baseball. And I know I've used this analogy several times, and this is where I got it from. And he said, he asked the question, I know at least the sermon shared this, asked the question, hey, guys, what is a great lifetime batting average for a Major League Baseball player? Hall of Fame average, right? Just give me a baseline number. Everybody says about 300, right? That's good average. Man, 300, lifetime? It's legit, man. You're pretty good at hitting baseball. You sat down 7 times out of 10. 7 times out of those 10, you sat down. And people are like, oh, but he's still really good. He's the man. The only way that Ted Williams and all these guys get to hit the baseball is when they step in the box, though. And out of the 10 times they get in, 7 of them they sit down. Yeah, we don't even want to get in the batter's box. You want some Hall of Fame numbers, you got to get in the batter's box, guys. Stop walking by people and saying, I can't help them. Maybe you can. It might take an exchange. It might take a conversation. You are on a road in this life, and there will be an end. But there are intersections and crossroads, and there are people all throughout it that you're going to meet. And God's saying, hey, there's an opportunity, and there's an opportunity, and there's an opportunity, and there's an opportunity. Just get in the box. We'll see what happens. And maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe God's saying, this is the guy you need to talk to right now. You say one person, this person opens up, shares their life story. We pray right there on the spot, and they get saved. Woo! Jesus. Maybe you say something to somebody, and you feel like nothing happened, but that stirs in that person for the next 2 weeks, and then someone else comes by on the road, and they give him some salt, and then someone else comes by, and then someone else, and eventually, that person's breathing is altered. They regain consciousness to what's real, right? They regain consciousness to those things in the heavenly realm, but you're never going to know it unless you take a swing at a baseball. You're never going to know it unless you hop in there and say, man, listen, I don't know what you're going through. All I can tell you is what happens with me. All I can tell you is what happens with me. And you can say what you want to, but when that guy comes back next week, there'll be a story like that. You can write it down. If not, I'm going to call him tonight, but hey, you talked to somebody this week. Like, just don't make me look bad. So, but that's, because he's looking for that. I mean, you guys have traveled with him. Does he not? We know he likes to talk, number one, right? But he's going to talk to somebody, and eventually he's going to weave that conversation back to what they need. That's not because he's the pastor. That's because Jesus said that dude's salt. That's not reserved for Sidney Garner. It's not reserved for anyone in the cloth. That's reserved for anyone that's a believer. God says, you are the salt of the earth. Super, super expensive, right? Salt is. You know the term, that dude ain't worth his salt. You ever heard that? Ain't worth his weight in salt. That's because that's what was traded for human beings, okay? They would trade, they'd weigh this guy, okay? Good 180, right? Solid 180. 180 pounds of salt for that guy. You're either worth your salt or you're not worth your salt. That's how expensive this stuff was. You're either worth it or you're not worth it. God tells us how he sees us. Okay? Soldiers were actually paid in salt, by the way. Roman soldiers, like the guys that like protected the great city of Rome, they were paid with salt. And they were happy about it. I got a little salt today. Because they knew it was valuable. They could go and they could use it to pay for other things. Matthew 13:46. I didn't put that one up, but I can just read it to you. Let me tell you how expensive salt is. If salt was traded for people, right? And it's in red letters too, so you know it's important. 13:46, okay? First time I ever spoke in this church. This was the verse God led me to, however long ago that was, okay? It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man covered hidden in field. Hold on. Where'd it go? It's not what I'm looking for. Yeah, 45. I'm sorry, guys, 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven was like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovered the pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it. You're not the flavor, just the flavor of life. You're something that was so valuable that he sold off everything he owned just to have that. If you were the only one, he would have sold off everything that he owned just to have you. You want to know how expensive salt was back in the day? It was enough to have a Savior come out of heaven, right, and say, hey, all the junk, I want it because it's worth it. It wasn't just spices on the end of a road, guys. It was something that was more, that was worth heaven. It was worth bankrupting heaven. And without that, there is no Savior, by the way. There is no Savior. Let me read this to you. I got some notes here that I thought were good. Maybe they're not, but I thought they were. Going back to preserving food, I probably should have brought this up a second ago, but I missed it, so I'm going to bring it up now. Christ tells us in John 6:48, he says, I am the bread of life, right? Everybody want to agree with me that that's scripture? Okay, that way we don't have to, you can turn there if you want to, write it down. John 6:48 says, I'm the bread of life. And the bread that he's talking about during this time period, we all know is what, does anybody know what type of bread? Starts with an L, ends with heaven. Okay, leavened bread. And the reason they use leavened bread as opposed to like the nice puffy stuff that blows is because that stuff rots quick. Leavened bread doesn't. Do you know why? What are you using it? Use yeast. Guess what they used where Jesus is hanging out right now to keep that bread leavened? Certain set of salts. Looked it up last night. They still use it in some places of Romania and stuff like that. A certain set of salts is what keeps that bread leavened. And guess what? It lasts longer, doesn't it? Leavened bread, you would take it and you would travel with leavened bread because it lasts longer. And if we're using salt to make the leavened bread and God says, I am the bread of life, the salt is what makes our Savior the Savior. If you're not here, he's not the Savior. He's still Christ. He's still God Almighty sitting on, but without you, he's not the Savior. You as the salt are what makes Christ the Savior. Christ isn't Christ without you. That sounds crazy. I understand that. He's still God. He's still in charge of the whole shooting match. But without you, he's not the Savior. There's no need to show up. You are the salt that makes Christ Christ. You telling people, let me tell you what he did in my life is what actually makes him the Savior. You stopping people on the road and saying, hey, listen, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was here, but now I'm here. I once was that and dealt with that, but now I deal with this. That is what makes Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. You. So how important is the salt that he's telling you that you are? If that's what's used on this bread to make it what it is, and he's the bread of life, without you, it doesn't matter. That's how valuable you are. That's how big a part you play in this entire shooting match. But we just sit there and say, well, God's God, and he's on the throne, and we're just going to let him do his thing. Then why does he say stuff like this to us? If that was our job, is to just let God be God, then why does he tell you that you're this important? Why does he give you a map of what you should be doing? Why does he say it's your job to go and make disciples? Why does he say stuff like that if he don't mean it? Yet we sit back and we say, that's this guy's job. People fought for the right to read this thing. People died to read this thing because there were so many people standing up telling them how to do life. And it wasn't scripturally based because people couldn't read it. They didn't have access to it. You have access. More people have access to the Bible today than they ever have. I would probably say people value it less. I don't have stats to prove it. When's the last time you read yours? I know. Wasn't fun for me either. Okay, wasn't fun for me either. Change the way. Change your route. That's how important that you are. Could you imagine? Now, me and Paul talked about this a second ago and I brought up James. Could you imagine if more people in this world always looked for opportunity to share what God says? Right? Could you imagine, and I'll use James's, and I'll use ours too. James, what if Whitney Houston would have never, what if someone would have poured into her like poured into me? Holy cow, could you imagine that worship album in the 90s? Sorry for you young people. She was really good at singing. Okay? Or how about Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam? Because these guys were anointed. They were given something by God. They were anointed to do those things. And for whatever reason, their path didn't take them there. But could you imagine if somebody was constantly, hey man, let me tell you about Jesus, what he's done in my life. He's got a song that says, I'm looking to the sky to save me. He's asking for it. There's not enough people walking around on this world willing to give it out. We just think that our job is to be the spice of life, to be the funny guy in the room, right? To just be solid, and you look at that guy and you know he's a Christian. Right? And that's awesome. But what are we doing with it? What are we doing with stuff like that? I'll have to hold with me. I'm going to read my notes. I don't want to miss stuff. Salt during this time period was very difficult to obtain, again, because it wasn't just available everywhere. And so that's why there was such a high value on this. I guarantee that if you ask people right now that don't know God, how difficult is it for them to obtain peace? Now that's huge. If you've been saved for a long time, and you've been rocking for a little bit, try to remember what it was like to not have peace. To not be able to lay your head down on your pillow and just be like, you know what? Today was terrible. I lost my job. Ain't making no money, but I'm going to be okay. Imagine not having that. Imagine being 16, your parents get divorced or whatever. Let's make it real. Your dad beats your mother. I got a kid that wrestles for me right now. Watched his mother get raped. Couldn't do anything about it. Couldn't do anything about it. Tell me he doesn't need what I got. You don't know that story. And you don't know anybody else's. Tell me this world doesn't need what you have. You can't do it. God, what you got is more valuable than anything else. than anything else. And the world needs that from you, man. The world needs it from you. I'm going to tell you, dude, just because that's what we do, there are people that walk beside you on a daily basis and they need what's here. They don't need what's here. They don't need your clothes. They don't need your coolness. They need what's here. But I guarantee you there's people that you walk by every day that have a situation like I just talked about. I promise you they do. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. I guarantee you there's guys that work for you guys that maybe you don't know very well. Maybe you know them all really well. If they don't have peace in their life, whatever the situation is, there's no peace there. Because without Jesus, it's not available. Again, you can get there like we talked about earlier. You can have that success on these high levels. But unless there's that foundation, it's not going to last. And so that's why we ride this roller coaster in life. Is because we don't refer back to basic teaching and principles of God. It says, no, let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you how important you are. Let me tell you what you're worth. You're worth me sending my son down here, dying on a cross, taking all your junk, because I know that in 2018 there's going to be a human being that you're going to come across that needs to hear from you. And it might be a hug, might be a handshake, it might be, hey man, how's it going? I'm going to tell you, when these Blake House guys show up, you know how much this right here means to those guys? Because the world looks at them with all this disdain. And I'm just being honest. I'm being real this morning, okay? And so to go up and talk to these guys and just have a conversation with them, that's salt in their life. That's sustaining for them. That may keep them going another week when they didn't think it was good enough. And that's stuff that we know because we can see because we've got labels on it. Guys, you're about to go out here, you're about to leave, you're going to go to lunch, some of you. Some of you may not see anybody else today until tomorrow, but you're going to come across people that need what you have. And one of the things that you've got to do is you've got to place value on that. You've got to understand, God put that in you, right? You guys are doing that. You're making your road stretch even further. Don't bypass what's right in front of us. Don't bypass what's right in front of you, man. Don't bypass that. Wherever you go, whatever it is that you do. I know this is odd, but I don't feel like bringing any musicians up today to do anything. I just don't feel like it's that time. I want to make sure our kids get plenty of time. But I want us to take some time and just spend it with God this morning. I want us to, it's going to be different, and that's okay. All right? I don't care. I'm just going to do what I feel like God's telling me to do right now. I want us to take some time, lights on. As uncomfortable as it can possibly be with a body of believers this morning. And I want us to take some time and really self-evaluate what we got going on. Okay? I'm just being real. I know this is not easy to swallow. Okay? Sometimes. And I'm not trying to be mean about any of this. This kicked my teeth in first. How much I'm holding on to what I got. I don't care where you are. I don't care your age. I don't care if you're 87. I don't care if you're 7. If you're in here, you've got value to people. So here's what I'm going to ask everybody. I'm going to ask everybody just to stand up. And it's going to be awkward silence here when this is all said and done, and that's okay. Because it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about the person beside you. It's time. I feel like God wants us to take a little bit of self-inventory this morning. I feel like we're supposed to ask ourselves, are we really sustaining people's life by providing meat for them? Are you putting word into people? Okay? Hey, listen, we're all going to hit one of these categories. When's the last time I spoke some word with people? When's the last time me and you exchanged some Bible? When's the last time me and you exchanged a little bit of Jesus? And you know right now, if that's you, when's the last time we looked for opportunities to share Jesus? When's the last time we looked for opportunities with people that we don't know to say, hey, listen, man, I don't know what's going on. Hey, let me talk to you a little bit. Well, let me share with you what Jesus has done in my life. When's the last time we stimulated another human being to consciousness? Not of the world, not of the bad things in the world, but all the good things that God's put in you. You might have some nasty flaws, so do I. But He's put some good stuff in you. When's the last time we stimulated the world and asked them to breathe in the breath of God? And you need to know how important that you are. How do you view you? As a believer, He declares over you that you are worth this. You are worth everything that He gave for you. You are life-sustaining. When's the last time we exchanged heaven with people? So I'm going to pray. If you feel like we need to come to the altar and do this, again, I'm not worried about how awkward it feels. It's only awkward if you make it that way, okay? So I'm going to pray for you guys. If you feel like you need to spend some time in the altar, if you want to talk to people and exchange heaven with others, then do that. If you feel like you're supposed to go pray with somebody, then do that. Now's the time. It's not going to get any easier than what it is right here in this building with a group of believers. It doesn't get easier than this. Everybody's on the same road. We're all heading in the same direction. It doesn't get any easier than this. So God, we just come to you this morning, Father God. We understand now the brevity of what you said when you said that we're the salt of this earth. We understand the weight that we carry. We understand that you are telling us as believers that it is absolutely our job to preserve life, to give life, to stimulate consciousness among others, God. That's our job. And so, God, we receive that, and now we understand that, and we cannot plead ignorance from here on out. We understand that that is the basic fundamental foundation for what we must do as believers of you, God. And so I declare that this morning, God, that you will stimulate us. You would awaken us, God. We would breathe in the breath of life this morning that you're breathing into us. And God, our course will be altered. That our Sunday would be altered and our Monday would be altered, God. That we would start carving a new road, Father. That our exchanges and our interchanges with people, Father God, we would put more weight on them, Father, because life is but a vapor and you have put us on this earth for such a time as this. And so, God, I declare over this body of people this morning, God, this group of believers, Father God, we just declare that from this point forward, God, we're never looking back. We're moving forward, and we're going to do what it is you've told us to do, that we will be that salt. We will preserve life. We will speak life. We will exchange heaven with others, God. I declare that over us this morning, God. I declare that over myself. God, I pray that you would convict me at any interchange, Father God, to where I don't do what you've asked me to do, God. I pray that you would drop that in my spirit, Father, not to make me feel bad, but to make me aware, to bring me to consciousness, Father God, of the brevity of the situation, God. And I pray that over every single person in this place, God. I declare that we would use spiritual eyes. We would understand the weight of our conversations, God. We would understand the weight of our exchanges with people. So God, this morning, we're going to take some time. We spend it with you, Father. And I just pray in the name of Jesus, you do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do. And I don't know what it looks like, but I can tell you, it's not going to be any easier anywhere else right now. So I just pray those things, and I thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray.